We are very pleased tonight to welcome each one to the gospel meeting this Saturday night. Read with me, please, in 1 John, 1st Epistle of John. And in chapter 1, 1 John 1, please. And from verse number 5. 1 John 1 and verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, do not the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sin, not for ours only, but also for the sin of the whole world. God will bless to us the reading of his word. Sometimes, when I get very tired, I sit down and take a few minutes rest, but I let the mind work. And I begin to think, what would it be like to leave earth and be in heaven? Do you ever think about it? What would it be like to leave the scenes of time and lift the eye on the other shore? And you know, the first one that will fill the gaze will be the Savior. To gaze upon a face that was marred, and a head that bore a crown of thorns, and to look upon hands that have been pierced, and to gaze upon him. We'll see him, those who are saved, face to face. Face to face with Christ, my Savior. Then you know there'll not only be a sight of the Savior, there'll be the song of the saint. Bursting on our ear will be the great anthem of glory. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. Can you sing it tonight? If not, when do you expect to learn it? Not only will there be the sight of the Savior and the song of the saint, but there'll be the saints. Can you imagine what that company will be like? To gaze on the host of the redeemed and see there the history of the ages, as God has prepared a people for heaven. But as I meditate upon it, bursting upon my gaze, figuratively speaking, is this: that God is light. God is light. That's a holy place. That those sins have been cleansed in precious blood. That blaze of uncreated light can fall upon them, and there's not a spot, not a stain. That's a holy place. God is light. I know our hearts move to the thought that God is light. And that's tremendous. But we need to balance it with this, that God is light. And the point I make is this, there'll be no sin there. No sin. And yet, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. The words that New Testament use are ungodly. That's my deed. Sinners, that's the desires that rise from a twisted nature. Enemies, that's the disposition that sin has left within me. And yet these are the people that fill heaven. There's only one kind of people going to be in heaven, and that is sinner. But there are sinners that have been cleansed from every stain. The point I make tonight is this. Have you been cleansed? Oh, but you say, am I a sinner? Have I been stained by sin? I don't really believe that, you know. I really do the best I can. I'm not very sinful. You won't find me the worse for drink. You won't find me under the influence of drugs. You won't find me tampering or dabbling in the filthy things of earth. Thank God for that. You're still a sinner. Listen to Isaiah. He's been introduced into the throne room. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. He saw the service associated with his presence. His gaze is filled with the seraphim, the burning one. His ear is filled with this, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. That man, his heart is smitten. He says, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm just a leper. We used to have them in Malaysia on the streets, the leper. And you would walk around them. You wouldn't dare go near them. That's the place that Isaiah takes. As he sees the holiness of God. I would like tonight a little blaze of that holiness would shine into your heart. That you might understand in the light of God's holy presence just how sin stains the memory. Sin stains the member. Sin is in the thoughts and mind and heart of each individual before God, and I find myself condemned by the very sin within me. That's by nature. It's by practice. Listen to how John defines sin in chapter 3. Lawlessness is sin. He looks into the heart. That's its essence. Listen how he defines it in chapter 5. Every unrighteousness is sin. Every unrighteousness. All that doesn't meet with the absolutely perfect standard of a holy God. I find myself shrink back. Because my God is a consuming fire. Do you remember how Isaiah put it again? Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burning? That's not hell. That's the very presence of God. Sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrite. Before a holy God, I find myself marked and stained by sin. But you say, I don't. Do you know the reason? You're in the darkness. I have a close friend who works in the coal business. Sometimes he comes to my door after night. I welcome him. Then I say, Tom, step in. But as soon as he steps through the door, I see the marks of what he's been handling during the day. Did the light put those marks there? Not a bit of it, but the light showed that they were there. Would you step into the light of God's presence tonight and see yourself before God in the blaze of that awful light, the light of His holiness? Recognize that every part of you is stained by sin. You need cleansing. Where are you going to get the sin stains removed? Do you think a few drops of water, sprinkle the one, will remove it? You'll search this book in vain. Do you think if you took the individual and put them down into the waters of baptism that that would do it? You'll search this book in vain. Do you think of giving a little bit of bread and some wine in communion that that would cleanse the stain, the state of grace? You'll search this book in vain. I see myself before God as a sinner marked by awful sin. Because He's holy. Do you know where I'm fit to go? So little hymn says that, what is the foulest thing on earth? Bethink thee now and tell. It is a soul by sin defiled that is only fit for hell. It's not the amount of sin. It's not the kind of sin. It's the very fact that before God I'm a sinner. O soul, tonight let the ray of divine light shatter the darkness. Because it will raise within your soul this consciousness. I need cleansing. And I want to point you tonight to the only place where you find it. That's why we read words like these. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The provision, the blood, the blood. Oh, please stop for a moment. What does it mean? The blood is the evidence of death taking place. And I look at Calvary, and I see one die. And I hear what the Bible says. Christ died for the ungodly. I see Him as the one who took the guilty sinner's place. I see the sentence fall on Jesus' head. Then I learn this. That precious blood that has been shed at the cross is available now for the whosoever will. Can reach the deepest, darkest sinner out of pain. Cleanse them from every stain. Fit them for God's heaven. Here's the provision. Because of the person who shed it, Jesus Christ, His Son. Do I need to stay tonight to remind this audience of the deity of that person? Of the dignity that was His as He moved upon earth? Do I need to remind you of His death on Calvary's dark cross? Surely not. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. Here's its power. Cleanse it. Cleanse. What's it cleanse from? It's in the singular. Every sin. Every sin. Not one will stay. I sat one night in a little hovel on the west coast of the United States. Out of the shadows, a man whom God had spoken to in the meetings, weeping about his sin and trembling, he put to us a question like this. He said, "Can God cleanse murder? Murder?" He had been a sailor, and I don't know to what dark waterfront of the world his mind went back, but there was some deed there, some darkness there. Though it was our joy to tell him that in the provision that God has made in the person of a son, there's a power to cleanse every sin. Cleanse the soul. Clear it before God. You've seen your need of cleansing? If not, tonight come out of the dark. Step into the light. See the blaze of God's holiness. Know that no subterfuge, no hypocrisy, no sham will meet the claims of God. It's for eternity. I need cleansing. And it's available because Jesus died. But you know, everybody doesn't accept that. There are some people who will take it up like this and say, "We have no sin." Oh, I know who you're preaching to. You're preaching to those down and outs on the street. You're preaching to those depraved ones that have drunk deep at the springs of earth and are going with hands stained and minds stained down the broad and crowded way. But we have no sin. Know what John said by the Spirit? You're deceiving yourself. You're not deceiving God. You're deceiving yourself. There are people that are brought up in church connections. I'm speaking of Ireland now particularly. Some chapel, some church, they've got their creed, they've got their communion, they've got their services, they've been christened, they take communion. And they're honest and sincere and decent and respectable. And if they die like that, they'll be in hell. Deceived! The devil's masterpiece is religion. Respectability. It keeps the mind closed to the fact of my sin before God. Hides me under some religious ceremony or some creed or some communion and says, "Do that and you do the best you can and you'll be all right." It's a lie from hell. It's this devil's deception. Oh soul, tonight, if I could only bring you into the light of his holy presence. Let the deception go. And as soon as it goes, you know what you'll need. Confession. If we confess our sin. Oh, I don't mean that confession on Lord's Day morning that joins in unison and says, "We are all miserable sinners." Ritualism. That's not what God means. Oh, I don't mean that confession that will take me along to a priest. That's Romish. Belongs to Babylon. That's where it came from. There's no confession to God there. This is confession before God. Puts its finger on it and says, "My sin, my sin, oh my sin." There it is. Like David of old, one who in the presence of God could cry, as Nathan the prophet reached his very heart and he said, "Against thee, against God, against thee and thee only have I sinned." He recognizes now the nature of his sin. It's God's involved. My friend, sin's not a trivial matter. Sin's not a small matter.
Sin is a matter you must face for eternity. I trust tonight you'll get out of the darkness. You'll see your need of cleansing. That any deception that you've been practicing up to this moment, even on your own soul, that you might be clear of it. You might say, oh, I'm the sinner. I'm the guilty one. Here's the message. We confess our sin. What does God do? He is faithful and just to forgive. That's one. And to cleanse from all unrighteousness. Forgiveness deals with the guilt of sin. The cleansing deals with the filth of sin. Here's the pathway to blessing. Have you traveled it? I see my need of cleansing. I see my need of confession before my God. That like Isaiah of old said, I am unclean. Like Job says, I am vile. Like Peter said, I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Never been there? Soul, tonight, if you haven't been there, I question whether you know anything about salvation. To see my sin. To see its darkness. To see its deception. To see its deadliness. To see that before God that I need to be clear of this that will doom my soul forever. In the very presence of God, I'm prepared to say, I'm the sinner. The man in Luke 18, the publican, he said, be merciful to me. Now he didn't say the sinner. He didn't even say a sinner. He just said, be merciful to me, sinner. That's what I have. Would you be prepared tonight to take that place? Sinner. Without qualification. Without explanation. Without excuse. Simply say, I deserve eternal death. Maybe tonight it's not darkness your problem. Perchance tonight it's not even deception. Maybe tonight it's defiance. You might raise your fist to heaven and say, God's a liar. Would you?
I have not sinned. Oh, you hear it in the world. Sin's a medical problem. Sin's a psychological problem. Sin's a social problem.
These evade the point. It's a moral problem before God. Would you be prepared tonight to say, I have not sinned? What's that mean? Means that you don't even see not only the need of cleansing or the need of confession, but there was no need of Christ.
You're telling God that he's fastened upon men the greatest libel of all time. He's called them sinner.
To provide a Savior, you say, I've not sinned. We didn't need a Savior. But we did. Because we were only sinners. Oh, soul, tonight, could I get close to you? Could I bring home not only the fact of sin, bring home to before your heart the filth of sin, but could I tonight point you to a Christ who's made provision for sin? He's called here the Advocate. The Advocate is one who draws near and comes alongside. But there's more in it than that. Much more. This Advocate in the context of the passage is one who takes the sinner back into the presence of God. How can God trust this person? to bring a sinner into his presence. Because he's the just one, he won't cover sin. He won't compromise with sin. But there's more to it than that. He's the one that has suffered the cost of sin. He's the propitiation for our sin. You say, what does that big word propitiation mean? It's an Old Testament word that fixes upon the mercy seat of old. You remember it was a wooden box covered with gold. It spoke of Christ. It was a meeting place. The wood spoke of the incorruptible nature of his humanity. The pure gold spoke of the impeccability of his deity. Their deity and humanity combined in Christ. You say, did that open the way to heaven? I bow my heart and say no. It took more. The mercy seat only became a meeting place when the blood was sprinkled there. And Christ has died. And in that death, he made provision. He made provision for the work for sin. Propitiation is the scriptural word. You say, for whom? For our sins, says John, but more. For the sins of the whole world. He was an infinite person. You can't measure the infiniteness of his person, the infinity of his person. Neither can you measure the infinitude of his provision. The atonement was no business act by which the Savior did contract to undertake so many sin stains that he might clear so many sins. He gave us all his lifeblood flow to reconcile a world to God. He made provision. So tonight, there's provision for you. Provision in that blood to cleanse, to clear your guilt, and to take you into the very presence of God. Now before God tonight, come out of the dark. Let the deception go. The defiance broken. You need cleansing. Face the fact of confession. And there's a Savior ready to take you in. This one died. He lives. Because he died. My Bible says, whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Will you trust him? Do it tonight.
Shall we read from the Word of God in Revelation chapter 7? Book of Revelation and chapter 7. Verse number 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four living creatures, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light upon them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And with this reading of his word, we trust the Lord will bless it to us and all that has gone before in his name. Firmly implanted in my mind's eye tonight has been this vision that was transmitted to the beloved apostle. And I want to bring it to you as I feel I ought in relation to all that has gone before in the gospel. I don't think you have ever visualized a multitude as vast as the one presented to us in verse 9. In fact, dear friend, it is its vastness that fills our gaze as we look upon it. I want to term them as the company of the redeemed. When I was a little boy, I've reminded you of this situation again before, and I do so again. And attending Sunday school, there was another hymn that used to come onto the gospel sheet before our eyes. And this was another hymn that caused my soul to tremble as I stood on the floor of that gospel hall among 600 to 700 children. Around the throne of God in heaven, thousands of children stand. Children whose sins are all forgiven, a holy, happy band singing glory. And as my youthful lips sung out those words, often, dear friend, I wondered, would I ever be amongst that throng? And that's the challenge I want to bring to you tonight as you view the vastness of the company of the redeemed. The question is, will you be there? Now, that is the most important thing. Because while you're in the gospel meeting tonight, and it's good, and we're glad to see you, and we do want you to come again, if God wills. But the thing that should be engaging your attention at this moment of time is this. Will I be amongst that throng, all clothed in robes of white, and join to swell that gladsome throng with pleasure and delight? I can answer, friend, I shall, for I have been redeemed. And as you sit in this gospel meeting, I want this to penetrate your very soul. Though that company is vast, a multitude of every tribe and tongue and nation and people, yet it could fill the very heaven itself, and you be absent. Now that's the solemn challenge of these words. I know that as I look at that throng, not only is it marked by its vastness, but I looked at this and they stood before the throne and before the Lamb. And you know, dear friend, there was a day when we couldn't do that. Because, as our Bible says, your sins are separated between you and your God. And there was a terrible distance once existing between our souls and God, which, thank God, the precious blood of Christ has removed. And now, they're before the throne. That throne of which our brother spoke tonight, in all its majesty, in all its purity, in all its righteousness, in all its holiness, here is a multitude that know no distinction but of every tribe and nation and people. And thank God they know no distance. Why? The distance has been removed. And they're standing before the throne. Oh, friend, the nearness, the blessedness of that place fills our hearts tonight with joyful anticipation. To think that we poor mortals of clay, destined for the dust, humanly speaking, are one day going to bear the brightness and the radiance of that unimaginable throne and stand before it. What brings us there? Thank God, no works of ours. Thank God, nothing of our merit. But as we stand before that throne, as we will see in a moment, dear friend, our song will be unto him that loved us and loosed us from our sins in his blood. That's what brings us there. We've been to Calvary in faith. And we've seen the sacrifice burnt holy to ashes. And we've put in our plea as our brother pleaded with you tonight. We put in our plea. And as the life call, as it were, from off the altar has come, lo, this has touched thy lips, thy sin is purged. And thank God we know nearness. But oh, that day when that company gathers around the throne, dear friend, in all its vastness and in all its vindication, not of anything of their own, but of him who died and bled upon the tree. You'll notice, friend, they are arrayed in white robes, clothed with white robes. Not good. There they stand in all the virtue of the work of Calvary. Once the stain of sin was upon them. Once, dear friend, they were contaminated and polluted by the dirt and filth of sin, as our brother has described it so adequately tonight. But oh, to think of that company clothed with white robes in all the virtue of him who never sinned. What a blessing. And it says they've got palms in their hand. Isn't that good? Ah, friend, when we think tonight of all the effort of the devil, and we think of all the hostility of his forces, and when we think of all the antagonism of ungodly men, and we think, dear friend, of all the enmity of the flesh, of the world, and of the devil, that would crush us and try to keep us out. That day we'll have palms of victory. No defeat. Through him who loved us. Now the thing is, will you be there? Could I just imagine for a moment, friend, that there's someone breathing God's air in this meeting tonight will not be there? I cannot say it's you, for I don't know. Have you asked yourself the question, where will you be? If you're not amongst the number of the redeemed, if you don't stand before the throne and before the Lamb, where will you be, friend? I think I've told you, and if you weren't here, I must tell you now, God will have a place for you. For when he closes out all evil and shuts it out forever, It'll be in the lake of fire. What a strange paradox. A friend that symbolizes the righteous indignation and the holy judgment of God on account of sin. When I was at school, I didn't learn an awful lot, but I did get this, that a lake takes in but never gives out. And is God not using that word to challenge your soul tonight? That means, friend, once the soul, once the person in spirit, soul, and body reaches that all-consuming lake, there is no giving up. That's where you'll be. I want to tell you, friend, I'm never so happy, and yet there's a tinge of sadness in my soul when I say it. Thank God I'll be there. And I'm not being selfish. But you know, friend, I'm glad for the moment in my experience when, through the grace of God, I made ready for heaven by trusting Christ as my Savior. What about you? The next verse speaks of the cry of the redeemed. And it says, they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. That's good, isn't it, friend? You see, our song is about Him. And our song is unto Him. For our song comes from Him. It is termed in the Psalm 137, it's termed the Lord's Song. That's where it began. And that's the song we'll sing in that day unto Him. What a blending, friend. What a melodious song it will be when the company cries their anthem of praise to our blessed Redeemer. When every vibrant and vibrant fabric of our being will be attuned to Him. Where will you be, friend? Mingling your cry with the loss. And you'll look back to this moment in this meeting when the preacher reminded you of it. And there will be the worm that will never die. There, dear friend, will be the torment that will never, never know relief. There will be the just perdition to the soul that has rejected the offer of salvation which God has offered and provided at the infinite cost of His well-beloved Son at Calvary. Salvation to our God and unto the Lamb. The one who thought it, and praise His name, the one who bought it. That's the cry. A question is asked by the observer, and John is interested too, and he's asked, who are they? And whence came they? In other words, he's asking, how did these people get here? Would you ask the question tonight, friend, with these words our brother has presented to you ringing in your very soul in the meeting, would you not ask, how could I get there? How came these people here? And I move, dear friend, from the company of the redeemed and the cry of the redeemed to that simple word that his brother has presented already, to the cleansing of the redeemed. What happened? It says, these are they that have come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Could I stay with that for a minute, friend? Oh, let me bring it to you again from this book. For as I have told you and I've told the believers, and I like to tell the saints and the sinners the same gospel message, the book of God and any particle of prophet is in itself a full entity. And chapter 1 will tell you that the blood of which you've been singing, which your brethren has proclaimed, is the blood that gives release from the very chain of sin. It sets us free. That's why we're going to praise him. Because as I told you one night, the night that I got saved, my sins went one way and I went the other. And we'll never meet again. That's full salvation, man. Hope you know it. What happened? We were released from the chain of sin. That's chapter 1. But friend, here is not the chain of sin. Man, here's the stain of sin. What's happened? They've washed the robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The blood not only releases from the chain of sin, but thank God to his precious name, it cleanses from the very stain of sin. Makes you white. That's God's word in this book, you know. White. Would you know that? That's God's word. And when I use this word in this book and look at it, I find myself rejoicing that this poor, hell-deserving sinner, stained with the filth and the pollution of sin, has been washed white in the blood of the Lamb. Stain of sin. Come with me to chapter 5 and see again the redeemed host as they sing unto him that loved us. And what are they saying? Thou art worthy, for thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. And I get the picture of the pain of sin. That's all gone. All gone. Man, they're rejoicing, and they're blessing, and they're singing, and they're praising. Why? The pain of sin is past. They have known redemption. And thank God, they sing. When I come to chapter 12, friend, they overcame him by the very blood of the Lamb and loved not their lives unto death. What's that? I want to tell you, man, you're listening in the gospel meeting tonight. Young friend, listen. Not only does the blood of Christ release me from the chain of sin and cleanses me from the stain of sin and delivers me from the very pain of sin. I want to tell you, friend, one day, glorious day, it's going to remove me from the very domain of sin. Say goodbye to the scene someday, forever. How? By the blood of the Lamb. You sit in the meeting tonight, friend, you're bound by the bondage of the devil. That's Mark 5. You're stained by the plague and defilement of sin. That's still Mark 5. The little woman that our brother preached on the other night. And someday, man, you're going to feel the very penalty of sin when death takes you from the scene. That's still Mark 5. That's the child. If you want to get a little picture of that chapter and what's in my mind, friend, go to the hospital. And you go into the men's ward. What do you see? The offense of sin, man. You go to the women's ward. What do you see? The offense of sin. And down the corridor, what have they got? The children's ward. The offense of sin. That's a little picture of the whole world before God. What has he done? He has sent a redeemer. He has sent a deliverer. He has sent a son that shed his precious blood on Calvary. What to do? To deliver men and women and boys and girls from sin. How comprehensive. How glorious. What about you? Must the writhing pain of sin turn your very being eternally, friend? I could have been saved. I knew how to be saved. Others were being saved around me, but I missed it. I'm lost. I could have been cleansed. I should have been cleansed. There was provision for me in Calvary. But I'm not. Finally, the condition of the redeemed. My, what verses, friend. I wish you'd read them with a magnifying glass. Allow each word to burn into your very eyeballs, the eyeballs of your very being, man. What are they? Look what it says. Again, they're before the throne of God. What a standing. What a standing. Oh, to think of it, friend. I would feel it tremendously if I was asked tonight to go before Her Majesty. I wouldn't know what suit to get. I wouldn't know how to dress. I would feel all out of it, friend. Bold shall I stand in that great day. Who ought to my charge shall lay? Fully absolved in thee I am. By what? The blood of Calvary. It says, they serve Him day and night. What a service. And they're in His temple. Not good. What a sanctuary. And then, they shall hunger no more. What a satisfaction. Neither shall the sun and light upon them, nor any heat. What a shelter. What a security. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them. What a sustenance. And shall lead them unto fountains of waters. What a supply. And God shall wipe their tears from their eyes. No sorrow. It's gone. Now, friend, if I had 10 minutes, 20 minutes, do what I would do? I'd take up each one of those statements and show you from the same book you're going to be in the very opposite. The last sight that you'll get will be that throne and the throne sitter into the lake of fire. Sorrow, suffering, pain, agony that no language could describe. Thirsting, hungering, passion burning, ungratifiable desire yearning and yearning, ungratified, lost, and lost forever. Maybe a father in heaven, eh? Maybe a mother in heaven. Maybe a brother in heaven. Maybe a sister in heaven. Maybe a son in heaven. Maybe a daughter in heaven. And you out. Close in with God's offer of mercy tonight, friend. Flee to the refuge of Calvary and be cleansed by the precious blood. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Let us pray. Our blessed God, we bow before Thee with thanksgiving that our heaven is secure. And that fills our souls with joy tonight. But, oh, blessed God, it is with soul compassion we think of the boys and girls in the meeting not going to heaven with us. And the friends and loved ones in the meeting on the downward road to eternal ruin. And the Savior calling and the Spirit speaking. And the preachers pleading and saints praying. And yet, they go out of the meeting rejecting Christ. We plead with them. We speak to Thee on their behalf, blessed God, and ask Thee to save them tonight. Make them ready for the courts of glory. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. The familiar hymn will suffice as we close the meeting, trusting it will be your language tonight of 473, just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. The first and the last verses of this lovely hymn, and we stand to sing.